this week, European space scientists made history. As part of a mission called Rosetta, they have landed a washing machine-sized probe called Philae on the surface of a comet over 300 million miles away. This needed precision equivalent to firing a bullet from London and hitting the head of a nail in New Delhi.
But not everything has gone to plan. Philae didn't land in the spot it was supposed to, and now it might not get enough light to charge up its solar panels. UCL space scientist Andrew Coates developed one of the instruments on the probe, and he's with us. Hello, Andrew.
Hi there.
So what actually has happened? What's the current situation?
Well, what happened with the lander was it landed, first of all, almost in the right place, in fact, within 10 metres of the expected point. But unfortunately, there were a couple of systems which were supposed to happen, which didn't. One of the things was a thruster, which was supposed to hold it onto the comet. The other thing was harpoons, which were supposed to anchor it to the comet, and those didn't work. And what happened was it bounced off to a completely different location. In fact, the location that it bounced off to hasn't quite been found yet, but within the last few minutes, it's been shown that there's a photograph after the bounce which shows the direction it travelled, so that will help to narrow down where it actually did. But when it got to the surface, it landed, unfortunately, very near to an ice cliff on the comet and also surrounded by boulders in a place where sunlight actually was very limited. And so that meant that there was a limited battery life. So the comet rotates every 12 hours, and the place where it landed, there was about 1.5 hours of sunlight. And to add to that, it was actually on its side. So it was trying to do the experiment on the surface. And it successfully, though, did do all the experiments in the first experiment block, 100%. So actually, I think that's pretty impressive to get that data back to Earth before the batteries
ran out. What experiments has it done, Andrew?
Well, what it's been able to do is obviously take images. So there's images of the locations, there's panoramic images. Basically, all of the experiments on board were exercised in some way, including a drill was extended to try and drill at the surface and get the pristine material from the cometary nucleus into the laboratory to do some tests. All of that was successfully done. So drilling was done. It's not quite sure exactly whether that got a pristine sample yet. It certainly was able to sample the vicinity and also to do some measurements of the physical structure of the surface and those sorts of things.
Some of the big broadsheets are saying today that there could be data now loitering on the probe which can't be returned, but which could be very, very important. Is that because it's just out of power and can't transmit the data back?
Well, actually, 100% of the data was, in fact, transmitted back from the first experiment sequence. So the next step is to try and charge up the batteries and do some more experiments. I mean, it was a huge success, really, to get all the data back on Friday night, which possibly could be off the orbiter. So I think there's not one bit of information left on the lander that could, in principle, be sent back. But the next step is to try and charge the batteries, and this will probably take days, weeks, possibly months even. So to put it in perspective, the comet is travelling around the sun, and it gets closer to the sun over the next few months up until August next year. And so every moment the amount of sunlight is increasing. So although the power available per day or the sunlight available per day is relatively limited, the amount of power will actually be increased. And in addition to that, it was possible to actually move the probe a little bit on the surface to mean that there's more solar panels now which are facing the sun than there were before. And so that, again, then that is a good possibility for being able to power it up in the future. But in the meantime, you know, I think 100% success rate in getting the data back from the first few hours is actually very, very impressive. And put in combination with the experiments on the orbiter where we're involved, this means that it's a fantastically successful mission, which is still going to be sending us back data over the next few months.
What do we hope to still learn, or what have we learned so far? Why is this important?
With the orbiter, there's a number of experiments on board. There's 11 experiments on board the orbiter and 10 on the lander. Comets are very important because they're very old members of our solar system, taking us back 4.6 billion years. So they're the building blocks, really, of the planets. They were formed in the region between Uranus and Neptune, where it's cold enough for water ice to be in the solid state. And so comets are there. They're building blocks, really, of the outer solar system. So they were made there and then kicked out to sort of storage regions. So one of them is the Kuiper Belt, which is in the plane of the planets. The other one is the Oort cloud, which is a sort of spherical cloud of comets, a quarter of the way to our nearest star. So they've been in cosmic deep freeze, effectively, from the beginning of the solar system. So every time one of these comets comes into the inner solar system, there's the possibility to look back really at that time 4.6 billion years ago.
A fantastic achievement, regardless of what the outcome is from here on in. Thank you very much to Andrew Coates, who developed one of the instruments on the Rosetta probe, which has deployed the Philae lander onto the surface of the comet 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko, which is some 300 million miles away.